what we've realized at the Chamber is that our thinking about infrastructure around this country really has to start to change. You know, we have been big champions of maintaining, modernizing and expanding infrastructure. And, you know, that's transportation, energy, broadband, and water. But what we see is there's a real opportunity to rebuild today to support our economy tomorrow when it comes to infrastructure. And at the Chamber, that doesn't just refer to physically rebuilding crumbling or aging infrastructure. We've got to change our mindset toward it. Prioritizing, planning, and delivering projects, and then operating and maintaining facilities have to be increasingly responsive to supporting a fast-paced economy. And we've got to have a mindset around delivering performance, delivering for the customers of that infrastructure so we can support international trade and interstate commerce, regional and local economic development, and an efficient and productive workforce.
What are some of the policy holdups that you're seeing that prevent the things that you're talking about from happening? I don't think there's anybody in the world that would argue that those are all things that we want for our country. What's keeping those things from happening in your view?
Our greatest challenge right now is that there is a recognition that we're underinvesting in infrastructure, and there's a recognition that we need to change the way things are getting done, but there's almost a paralysis towards making that change. You know, I sit here at my desk actually with a quote from Machiavelli looking at me saying that there's nothing more difficult to take in hand or perilous to conduct or uncertain in success than to try and introduce a new order of things. And we're at that cusp of a new order, and there are there's a lot of resistance to change. Of course, one of the things that's making it very hard to move forward is that major legislation is stuck in Congress. The Federal Aviation Administration bill is about to start its 21st extension. It's nearly 4 years overdue. We are 2 years overdue with a highway, transit, and rail bill, and it doesn't look like Congress will get to improving our inland waterways and ports this year at all. So, you know, there's been a lot of inertia just simply because there are such major issues going on in this country, like the debt ceiling issue, and it's making it hard for Congress to get to some of these other fundamental things.
I remember the debate over the last transportation bill. I believe it was called Ice-T for some reason. That sticks out in my mind. Is that right?
We had Ice-T and then T-21, and the last one was even more creatively named. It was Safety Lou.
Where do these come from? Anyway, the debates over those are always contentious. Things don't seem to be getting any nicer on the Hill, especially if you follow what's been going on with some of the debt ceiling debate over the last day or two. So even if we were on those items, which, as you mentioned correctly, we're not, the prospects are not necessarily very good for being able to find results that people can live with.
Well, I tell you, it is a challenge, but if there's one issue where we can find some bipartisan agreement, it should be in transportation. I have some high hopes. I know that Senators Boxer and Inhofe, for example, who are the chair and ranking member, respectively, of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, have actually been working very close together on a bipartisan highway and transit bill. We have high hopes that we will see something bipartisan out of that committee soon. We have a proposal, an outline from the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee that has a lot of tremendous policy work in there, a lot of the kind of reforms we're looking for. The holdup, of course, is always the money. We have to find a way to pay for these things, and it's awfully hard to talk about that in this current environment, although the Chamber continues to do so.
The bridge accident in Minnesota a couple of years back was pretty disastrous, and there were a lot of people who said in the aftermath of that, well, finally, this is the kind of catastrophic event that will call people's attention to infrastructure issues, especially roadways, but all kinds of infrastructure issues. It doesn't appear from your estimation that that has happened. Can you give us a peek at the Let's Rebuild America Transportation Performance Index that you're going to release shortly?
I sure can. I'm glad you asked me about that. Last year, the Chamber created the Transportation Performance Index to measure just how well our roads, our waterways, our airports were working for business. And we look back to 1990, we look to today, we looked across three categories. Supply of infrastructure, is it where we need it? Because there are some places in this country where sometimes you don't have what you need. The second, quality of service. Is it reliable? Is it predictable? Is it safe? Is it really working the way business and the economy need? And the third is the potential to handle future growth. And what we found is from 1990 to present, in spite of record levels of investment, we've just been kind of bumping along when it comes to how well our infrastructure is working. When we issue our latest report next week, what you'll find, I'll give you a little preview, is that we actually saw a little bit of an uptick. It's going to appear like things got better, but in fact, one of my colleagues here said maybe you should try to liken it to putting lipstick on a pig. It looks good, but what's really underneath is that because of the economic downturn, there's been less pressure on the transportation system. So, of course, it's worked better. So we've got to just keep pushing forward and saying, as we think about how are we going to fix transportation, what are we going to do about performance? And then, of course, you know, as we release that report next week, we're also going to be talking at the chamber with our think tank, the National Chamber Foundation, about what the relationship is between investment in infrastructure and investing for resilience, so that when you're building something new or when you're rebuilding something, it can take a punch and still stay in the ring. And that's a discussion that just hasn't happened very often in the past.
Janet, your headliner for this event is Admiral Thad Allen, the former Coast Guard Commandant, and he headed up the response to Deepwater Horizon and is now with the RAND Corporation. And I doubt many people know more about the front lines of transportation issues than he does. So I wish you good luck with your event, and thanks for being on to talk about it and transportation infrastructure issues.
Thanks, Francis. I'd love to come back anytime.